everyone. Andrew's Trevor Campbell, who's going to speak on 50 years of...
Donald Apex. Oh, I did read that, but I'm going my way. But yeah.
Okay, I'll hand over to Trevor.
Well, I'd better acknowledge that we've got Phil Tongan here, an ex-Apexian. Judy Hastings and Wayne was an Apexian for many years. And Les is one of the elders of the Donald Apex. And so, yeah. And Mary. John Archibald got a special mention. I'm coming to that, Mary, now. Don't rush me, please. So what I thought I'd better do for a start is just explain to people who have been associated with Apex what Apex is all about. And I took it out of a book, so I know I'm talking to a history group, so I've got to get it right. So excuse me if I read a bit, because I don't want to get it wrong. And they say it here, Apex is a young men's community service organisation which was founded at Geelong, Australia in 1931. So it's not 50 years, it's only 90 years, isn't it? So, and has spread to 9 countries and territories in the Pacific and Asia hemisphere. The objects of Apex embraces service, fellowship and citizenship. Apex is a non-party political and non-sectarian organisation and is a member of the World Council of Young Men's Service Club. So that basically sums up the Apex movement. And it had its golden years, and the golden years are gone. And what you're saying, Norm, about the Lions is, yeah, that's what happened to Apex too. But Apex being restricted to young men between the ages of 18 and 40, restricted even greater, didn't it? Because some of the Lions, I think, are going for 40 year olds. So, and Apex, that wasn't possible. So, and I wasn't looking at you, Brian, no. So the ideals of Apex is basically the golden rules, and they are to make the ideal of service the basis of all enterprise, to develop by example a more intelligent and aggressive citizenship, to provide a means of forming enduring friendships, rendering altruistic service and building better communities, and to promote international understanding and friendship. I don't think Donald Trump was a member of Apex when I read that one. Now, why did Apex start? And the question I asked myself when I was thinking about getting this speech set, how did it start? Why did it start? And then 30 years later, why did it finish? So, so this is probably a benefit for me. I hope it is for you people also. But just to go back over it and just get the memories going, and she had some laughs when we were formulating all this too. And I must admit, Jen did all of my typing and most of the work. But she didn't come tonight either, so I might embarrass her. So why did Apex come to Donald? So I got this straight from the horse's mouth, and that's what Les Mellings is doing here tonight, because we can blame Les basically for starting it. And this is a quote when I asked a few of the Apexians just to write down their ideas of what Apex meant to them and what have you. So, quote from Les: when living in McCracken Avenue, a new principal by the name of Oz Nelson came to live next door to us. As I got to know Oz and Betty and family, we learnt that he was travelling to Warrnambool to finish his last year off in the Association of Apex Club with the Warrnambool Apex Club. As time went on, Oz mentioned that he thought there could be an Apex Club formed in Donald. He asked me if a club was formed, would I be interested in joining it? And Les said yes. So that's basically how it started. Now, just to check that out, Les, I went and got the history from Warrnambool Apex Club, so I'll read that if I may too, just how it corresponds.
I hope it's the same.
It's not bad, Les, it's not bad. Quote from the Warrnambool Apex Club: on the 1st of September 1970, our board moved that we seek the assistance of retired Apexian Oz Nelson in our endeavour to establish an Apex Club in Donald. Yep, right on. And on the 5th of October, 12 Apexians travelled to Donald for a meeting with young local members, local men, I should say, interested in forming an Apex Club. And I remember that. That was in the Royal George Hotel. And we can't do that anymore either. But a further meeting was held at the Shamrock Hotel on the 19th of October. Now, this is when White and Ibril were bringing their members over for just to indoctrinate us with what Apex is all about. And they were fantastic support. And they come over for meetings and then for board meetings too. So great effort, which I'm going to finish on that later on. Then on the 28th of October, the Warrnambool Club conducted their 435th meeting in Donald. And this was going to be before our first meeting. And all the prospective members from Donald were a guest at that meeting. And at that meeting, Mary, this is where John Archibald comes in, right? At that meeting, a motion from John Archibald and Ron McLean moved that a Apex Club in Donald be formed. That's when it all started. With constant support from our members at Warrnambool, Donald was granted an inaugural dinner meeting on the 30th of March. Their enthusiasm was further rewarded when Zone Board granted their charter on the 21st of August 1971. This was the fastest application granted by Zone Board after only 5 months since inauguration. But I must go on to say that Warrnambool also sponsored the Nil Apex Club, the Hopeton Apex Club and the Birchip Apex Club, so they had a fair bit of experience how to get Apex Clubs going. Now, once this is going, the most important thing in running a club is good leadership. So special mention must be made to Mike Rigby and Kevin Feller. Now, Mike was only in Apex for 18 months, but that was the first 18 months, and he really got it on the right footing. And with a strong foundation like that, we had 30 good years. So. But another fellow who was also great was a district governor by the name of Stan McKenzie. He was a member of Nil Apex Club. And he would come over here for every meeting, if needed, and board meetings in between. So when you got people like that, it sort of inspires you to follow it through. So we had great leadership just to get the Apex Club going. Now, the charter members I'd like to read out. Mike Ribby, of course, was our president. John Archibald as our senior vice president, Mary. So, now, what age was he then? Now, yeah, I know that. Phil Scandler was the junior vice president. Phil was a teacher in. I'll put it on notice. Phil Scanlon was a teacher here. Of course, he went on and been the principal at Birchip for many years. Kevin Feller, the secretary, did a great job. Kevin Allen was the treasurer. Service director was Greg Selleck. The inner notice that it was Jim Murray, who went on to the next, he was the next president. Sergeant Arm was Maury Alexander, and when you think about that, Soph was a pretty big guy. International relations was Ian McLennan. Program of publicity was Les Mellings. Commissariat and membership was Jimmy Hicks. And public speaking and debating was me. And the floor members then were Leo Allen, followed by the name of Colivas, Con Colivas, Jared Conlon, Neville Guthridge. Neville, I think, was a state agent, yeah. Barry Hepworth, John Meyer, Ron McMee, Bobby Smith, school teacher, Jeff Taylor, Frankie Young, John Donlan, Ant Thyde Reader, and Donnie Tonkin. Now, we rang Colleen on this, and Donnie actually spent 22 years in Apex, and then went on to get his 25th years in Lions Club. So, you know, he was a very dedicated guy. But Colin said he actually got into Apex before he was 18, so might just explain that he was cheating a wee bit, but a jolly good meeting. Now, all these portfolios will change every 12 months. We give all members the opportunity to express their ability at that particular portfolio and gives them the potential to go further in Apex, say to a district level, a zone level or a national level. And Ron McNee, John Barber, Keithy Walter and myself went on to serve as district governors, which was a very interesting step. In fact, I was thinking about that too, it's not written down here, but we actually had district governor skills and I went to Sydney. And I met one of the best guest speakers I've ever heard, and that was Father Vince Kiss. Now, I don't know if you followed Vince's history, but he was a naughty boy somewhere along the line, and yeah. But as a speaker, that was right hand, wasn't it? He was a naughty boy.
I think he fell for
Bryson.
Yeah.
He was a very good speaker.
He was. Well, thank you, Brian. Now, fellowship, of course, is what makes a good club is fellowship. And if people are enjoying their club, they'll do wonders. But if they're not enjoying it, they don't do so well. But fellowship is very good. And our meetings were every first and third Mondays for a start, and then it went on to first and third Fridays and board meetings in between. So, and when I look back at all the photos, it was all collar and tie and coats, and we have slipped somewhat there, I think. The invocation was for the good fellowship and the privilege to serve, we give thanks. So that was basically what Apex was all about. Now, some of the activities I've gone through, but this is only a sample of what Apex was trying to do at the time. So we were doing the paper drives for the hospital. Only the problem with that, some of the publications we picked up were very intriguing, and some of the members spent more time reading and looking at the papers than we did doing the rest. But anyway, and I'm not going to name those people though. We also helped on the hospital Sunday, and that used to be a real big day, hospital Sunday, and I don't know what happened to that. It just fell over, but it was a real, interesting and big day for Donald. We run movies. We had, I was trying to think of the projectionist we had, Ross Shields. It was a licensed projectionist. Did you have anything to do with that film at all? But he did a lot of that. So, and that was a lot for the youth of the town too, as well as more mature people. We ran movies for the Donald. We helped establish a new lawn cemetery. We acted parking attendants for the Donald races. We erected a shelter in Camp Street. We helped run the Donald air show. And that was a real great day. I was a bit more involved, but some of the aerobatics were just tremendous, but they were surpassed by a number of Apexians loaded in a mini miner, and then they drove that over the bridge to Sealy's Island. Now that bridge now is not suitable for pedestrians to walk on, but Apexians can drive a mini miner about 10 fellas in it, so don't put that down, don't know. Of our fundraising really was the annual cabaret balls, and we had such entertainers as Cliff Portwood, who they had Sexy Legs Portwood. We had Normie Rowe. The Rockefellers are a great rock and roll band, and we had Dennis Walter. And now we see Dennis every Christmas Eve at the Maya Music Hall. So, good efforts, and you need a lot of energy to run those sort of things, but that's what Apex was all about then. We had organised blood bank drives to Horsham. We painted a house for a widow in Watcham, and we did wood cutting, and we did wood cutting, and we did more wood cutting. And the highlight of this was when Mike Rigby turned up with his surgical gloves to load the wood with, but he was way in front of us because we all should have been wearing gloves, really, when you think about it, but yeah. And this thing, I actually was talking to Peter Faulkner, who was the fellow who had wound the Apex Club up, and he said, it's interesting, over Peter said that some of these jobs we were doing then, and we're mowing lawns for the elderly people and what have you, are not there anymore because there are systems in place where they get this done for them. So it was interesting when I'm looking at the demise of Apex, just some of the things we were doing then weren't available from them to do at the finish. One major project was the Apex Wayside Stop for travellers, and it still is a very popular rest area for weary travellers and caravanners. We held a white elephant sale on the final of the Christmas promotion. We conducted the crank in the tank. where I've just noted down a local policeman, Peter Lyons, also an Apexian, and school teacher Rob Norton were very popular with school kids and trying to dump them into the water. That raised a lot of money there. We erected information boards to South End Town. We provided transport to the residents of Goodwin Village, the senior citizen club rooms. We built a treehouse at the kindergarten, and they pulled it down because it wasn't safe, but we had a lot of fun cleaning it. We sent a clean-up crew down to the fires at Streatham Fires, and that was just showed firsthand just what fire can cause. We helped establish a walking track beyond the pool, purchased two radios for the Murdoch House bus, etc. So, you know, we were an active group, and I'm just wondering if we're doing so much, who's doing it now? But perhaps the Lions, no, perhaps they are. So. International relation, which is also part of their ideals. We hosted international students in our homes of Adol Apexians. We fostered a child in the Philippines, Gina, and that took her through school and got some lovely letters from her, and one Papua New Guinean, Max. We sent a work party to Canterbury Mission in Papua New Guinea to help build a hospital and erect a hydroelectric scheme in their stream. And I also sent clothes for the children there too. Brian Brennan, which was a Jeffcott Brennan, and don't ask me which his father was.
Tom,
was it? Thank you. And Donnie Tolkien, well, they were cousins. Gee, I'm getting nodded, Anna. I appreciate you getting this right. So. And that's how the contact started. And there was two groups that went up to just help up there. And they got a lot of reward and a lot of reward far as doing good for people. So, but it was interesting that Eugene was also, McKinnon was also in New Guinea, and he knew Brian, and he knew Canterbury, and he knew what they did up there. So, and Eugene spoke very, very friendly. He really enjoyed his time in New Guinea, small world. Now, club rooms, where we have our debriefing after our meetings were at the hotel normally, or we might have one in our club room, but we didn't always have club rooms. So so we had various clubs. The first one was actually in a little cafe, which is part of Jimmy Murray's, or on the Murray Timber Yard now. At half time at the pictures, you could go out there and get your drink and your chocolate or whatever you're having. Does anybody else remember that? Thank you. Thanks, Judy. Yes. And then we moved to the wool store, which is now, who is it now? Yeah, it is, Rowdy. I knew it.
We don't forget we were at the racehorse for a while.
Yeah, that's the next one. Just wait on, Les. Then we went to the jockey rooms. I've got down. We were the jockey rooms first, were we?
I think so, before the bullshit.
I knew you should have read this before I told you. Righto. Anyway, we're at the jockey rooms also. And there was a couple of stories that you're going to get a mention in a minute, Liz.
Oh, not that one.
Very much that one. Then we moved the PMG's building down here where the tower is now. And it had a carport on the side of it, and we brought the semi in and just backed it in, jacked it up, and we had Daryl, who was on the top anyway, someone was on top when we drove down Hamill Street to make sure we didn't hit any SEC wires. Try doing that today. Social activities. Well, with our social activity, we went fishing. We went to Port Ferry fishing, didn't we, Les? We went to the Edwards River. We went to the Murray River. We went to Albuquerque when Albuquerque was full of all the yabbies. They went on a Hoffman ski trip. I didn't go on that, and that was ladies too, of course. And then we visited Seppel's Winery for a Christmas meeting, I think, with Chaparrot. And we had Christmas parties for the families and that at many farms. And So again, that's very important of it all. Now, the district we were in was District 6. It was made up of 8 Beck Scrubs from Kenaiva, Nell, Warrington, Bilger, Parrot, Dimboola, Birchip, Hopeton and Donald. And each year we had a convention, so, and that convention, which is the same as the Lions Club had, it was held at one of that. We all hosted it, what have you, and it used to be the finals for the public speaking and the debating, where we have our finals, and whoever won that then went on to Zone, which was part of, well, most of Victoria and a little bit of South Australia and a little bit of New South Wales. Now, one of the things I really enjoyed when I was district governor was the inter-school debating. And we had some great debates with the school kids from each area. And one we actually had a final at Kenaiva, where the South Australians and the Victorians debated off. And I couldn't believe that there is such an accent in South Australia. They speak beautiful. And they had a natural edge for a start, just because of the way they spoke. So, very English, but it certainly comes out well. And some of the members also went to national conventions too. In fact, there's one group we sent quite a few off to Alice Springs, and they were into a heck of a time, except the railways got washed out and they finished up in Adelaide for the duration. You went on that, Les, were you? No. We didn't go either. Guest speakers, as you people get, so we tried and succeeded in getting guest speakers at each meeting, because it really does make the it makes the meeting. We had young Golf Letts when he was the leader of the Northern Territory Assembly. We had John Halfpenny, who was very active in the union. Now, the Ryan, he was a Donald boy. Now, he did very well in his chosen career. Here we go.
Johnny Cates said they should have held his head under the tap longer at initiation of high school.
Well, Coach, you probably couldn't hand that any longer. We had a Russian embassy speaker one time too on international aid, and then we got a bit of flack over that too. Not that I was an apex then, but Peter Faulkner tells me that he was a red Russian. Yeah. But you know, they were great for international relations, and people like ex-apex and Miles Burke, you know, always great entertainment. And there was a couple of guys who came up from Ballarat, and they were in AA. I don't know who brought them up, but it was probably pretty relevant that they did come to Apex. And Father Vince Kiss, I talked about, he actually spoke to Donald too. But yeah, look, I really liked that fella, I really did. So he might have been a naughty boy, but everybody can be naughty now, man. And of course, we had MPs from Alan Wood, when Alan was very active, from Swan Hill, and Esmond Kerner when he was in Bendigo. And we had a world champion wheelchair bowler by the name of David Boole, and he spoke well. David was quite a regular attender at our meetings. And in fact, he is more. In one stage, I've got a photo here of Harry Harmer actually inducting him into the Apex Club of Donald, because every social meeting we had, he was there. So Angle's got a handwritten one of these. But it brings back really good memories. So now there's some odd times that I'd like to go through, and I must thank Andy Griffiths, who did the book on 1 to 300 meeting, and he wrote all these down. I've actually got a book there too. I could show you when our charter come, and perhaps that might be interesting, Brian. That's Mike Ribby with all the delegates at when we got our charter member. So you're very welcome if that's any value to you. Now, while we're on a fishing trip to Barham, Les Mellings made full of use of Merv Dean's caravan after we, on our way back, where he filled it up with red gum sleepers. And do you remember that, Les? So something's never changed, eh? For his new fence on the farm. Armafish, we went to Port Ferry, and Les was there too. Now, Les is very good on dry land, but not so good on motion, because he had one foot on the boat and one foot on the pier, and he was getting squirmy. So you can imagine when he got 2 feet on the boat how he went. So. But on that same fishing, this time at Port Ferry, Con Colivas went through all the bait on the boat and picked out the best ones so he could take them home to eat. Now, if you realise that people are no con, well, but then again, you see, we didn't eat calamari and that at that stage. And of course, in Greece they did. So he appreciated what value they were, and we've since learnt that that's not too bad, it's quite good. The doctor's octopus doesn't look very tasty. They kind of loved it and cooked it. Anne Marie is a beautiful cook. So yeah, we had meetings at Watcham before the fire and burned the kitchen down. And Roger Belville was there, our guest there, and he provided all supper. And this one here, Lindsay Henderson, had a dig at Roger because he only had two tables worth of goodies for supper, you know, and they were cream cakes, and they were just beautiful. But if you've been to the Belville household, you'd understand that one. So. I should also say on suppers that Val Faulkner's cream cakes, and when Peter was there, they're just beautiful. So yeah, we didn't miss those sort of things. We did have a combined Irish night with the Lions Club, featuring someone's Irish stew, and we won't mention names, but there was there was a bit of a kickback on that one too. Derek Breed's not a member anymore. Derek would remember very well, because he hoed into it and was probably just a bit too good for him. This club rooms that Les was referring to is the jockey room up there, and Les is a very capable shearer, so he demonstrated how to shear a sheep. Now, he had to go and drag one out of the catching pen, which happened to be Grattan Walsh at the time, and he started to shear him with a stubby, and he, you know, he zapped the throat and he opened it up and getting the long stroke and everything else, and Grattan was a bit squirmish, which is fair enough, being Sean. So Les went out, oh, this fella must have worms, so I'll drench him. So he got the stubby, poured it down his throat. But if you could see that there. And then Les, being a capable bird, he's a rouseabout too. So he picks up the fleece and he throws her on the table like that. And it's the sin, you know. You never split a fleece up the back. And he split that fleece up the back, which happened to be Maria Colavas's first class tablecloth. He didn't win any points for that one either, Les. And we have Merv Dean too, you know, and Merv did the same thing. He lined us all up to take photographs and everything. It was perfect, you know, down there like this, whatever. And of course, he didn't have a film in the camera. We wrapped out a billy cart at the Donald Show 1 year, and then no one accepted it. So we did it the next year. No one accepted it. Then we did it the next year, and someone took it. For 3 years in a row. Pretty rough time. And there's another one. Les Mellings again. Was anybody else in Apex while you were there, Les?
No, we hit this story.
Well, these would-bes I referred to before, we had a lot at our place, but we also had some at Les' place, and the boys got out there and they started to get all this wood cut up before Les got there, which was great of them. But unfortunately, they mistook the stake of perfectly good fence posts for firewood, and the time Les got there, they were all sawn up. We had a motorbike weekend at F-Trip, that's in Coogee Bora, where motorbikes of all shapes, size, condition carried the riders through the Wombat State Forest, and it was absolutely wonderful. But you know, these are motorbikes from the farms, and 90cc's, and not very, very powerful. And then the serious motor riders, like the Faulkners of the world, they had their 350s and what have you, well, they left everybody behind. And Roger Belville was our president at the time, and I saw Roger Belville just put his left foot down and jump on the bike and fall over on the right hand side. So he wasn't quite as experienced as these other guys. And Roger recently said this was the weekend that nearly killed him. So, but a great thing for socially too. So This is where I'm trying to get that part of the social part of our ideas, and the comradeship really, really meant things. So what did it do for the individuals of Apex? This is where I asked about four guys to write down what it did for them. And some of this sort of bit teary, but I'll try and get through it. Now, Willie Mock, the one you remember, Willie Mock. I won't read all his letter because it's a ripper. Willie Mock, even though I'd lived in and studied in New Melbourne for over 9 years before coming to Donald, I really didn't understand what it meant to be Australian. That is, fair-minded, welcoming and generous. Unless you live in a country town like Donald, you wouldn't know what I mean. I'm sure it would be the same in any country town the same size as Donald. This is a can-do attitude, she'll be right, and no worries, mate. At just 70, I start to realise what haven't been a Apexian. It helps you to view the world slightly differently. It prepares you for a better citizen, better friend, and better understanding through mutual respect and altruistic actions. It's not always about me, but us. The best thing that happened to us in Donald was our children, Nicholas and Cassandra, were born here. Now that's pretty heart-wrenching a wee bit when you think that, but that's great, you know. We had this Malaysian Chinese come to town as a dentist and join in, and now at 70, he's starting to realise, you know, he got a lot out of that. So, Les Mellings. I quote again, it was educational to meet other people who held different jobs. We had bank managers, teachers, railway workers, truck drivers, farmers, doctors, carpenters, and a fruit shop operator, Con Colivas, a special person. He and his wife Maria were great for the club. And I've got down here EG milkshakes. Now, Did you actually bring your own milk in and go in the Cons and make a milkshake with his flavouring, with his ice cream, and it was beautiful?
Oh, right.
Now back to there. Another good thing was that the wives of the members could meet up and enjoy each other. And of course, the Apexians was formed there, and they had a great movement too. In closing, I would say that the years I had in Apex were the best years of my life. Now, that's a big statement, Les, but I do thank you for it. Alan Jackson. Alan Jackson in Donald, from the western suburbs of Melbourne. He came as a fitter and turner of the railways. And this is, quote, Alan's. Joining Apex changed my life and gave me more friends than I ever had. And some of these I still have contact with today. I found myself doing things I've never done before, e.g. public speaking, running meetings, working and heading committees, and participating in a variety of community projects. And the last one is Roger Belville. When Trevor asked me to join Apex, I was a very shy and had a very low esteem. On joining, I was able to observe people and make friends with a bunch of men who helped me to come out of my shell and have a voice. I was then able to stand up and speak publicly. I grew within Apex as a person, eventually holding a few portfolios and also becoming president of the Donald Club. It gave me more strength and courage to do other things within the community, like president of the Donald Golf Club, the Golf Social Club, and a member of the board of the Johnson Goodwin Memorial Homes. So I look back at Donald Apex and how it helped me achieve many things, including my current work at the Royal Melbourne Hospital Intensive Care Unit as a clinical technician, where I direct a staff of 9, teach new employees, and also teach over 400 nurses on a yearly basis how to manually handle patients within their everyday work duties. So I look back with great memories of where it all started when I joined such an outstanding organisation. So just excuse me while I choke on that one a bit. Okay, Apex started in 1970 and ran until April 2001, when its incorporation was cancelled. Why did Apex finish? To quote, Apexy and Peter Faulkner, I feel. The Apex hierarchy led to the demise of the Donald Club. In the end, there were more changes coming into effect, one of them being the lifting of the retirement age from 40 to 45. The majority felt that by the time you reached 40, you were starting to burn out. And these guys were in Apex for 20 years and were having trouble attracting new members. And I think that's the underlying thing. Therefore, I moved the motion for the Donald Club to hand its charter in. This led us to winding up with a social meeting on April the 27th, 2001. But I think the real reason is a quote by Willie Mock. And Willie's quotes: lifestyle has changed, family, domestic responsibilities have been refined compared to then, and normal family life has to complete with sport and the digital social connectivity. I wonder, would Donald Apex Club get off the ground in the current environment? If I were to start again, I simply don't know. And I think that sums it up pretty well. So that's it. The start and the finish thereof.
Do you want any questions before I come and thank you?
Yeah, I'd appreciate questions. Hey, Carol, what do you know? don't ask anything about Liz Mellons, please. But... Phil, how long were you in Apex for?
8 years, I suppose.
Yeah, see, you would have been getting close to the 20 also. You know, it's a big commitment, so. And we had a bit of fun.
A lot of fun,
yeah, so.
I was going to say, John's only 4 years.
4 years, yeah. I knew it wasn't long, but, yeah.
It's not a question, but you made cubby houses and Brian Walsh won the first one.
It's still out there, isn't it?
We sold it to Andy Lee about 5 years ago.
I've been past your place lately.
And just as a comment, that the lots of the membership of the Donald Lions Club, in fact, had come through from Apex, through stacks and stacks of them.
What? Oh, yeah, there it is, yeah.
Moved on from Apex and were... Great members of the
life. So we trained them well.
You did.
Well, thanks, Brian.
So where did the White Ant Festival
clubrooms
come from?
Oh, that's the men's shed now. We left them, they were perfect. that's what we shifted from the Hamill Street on the back of the truck and took them down there.
PMG joined, wasn't it?
It was a PMG, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we built that big shed on the side though, didn't we? That was added on. That was steel. Judy.
You had a working venture to plant all the trees on Silly Island.
We did, yeah.
Which are there today, and also put in the watering system. And the pipes are all still there, and the taps.
But there's no water in the pipe, no.
Oh, no, they're all turned off just by... Yeah. That was quite an effort, really.
It was.
They survived. Yeah. All the trees. They've weeded them out recently, the ones that have fallen down. But yeah, that was another thing you did.
Yeah, look, there's plenty of things just to remember, and it's good to have someone like yourself who can remember those things, because I've got a good memory, it just doesn't work. But,
Trevor, did you have dinner meetings or just...
All dinner meetings, each one was, and usually at the hotels. But then when we had better club rooms, we did have social nights at the club rooms too, to keep the costs down. But they were... And everybody was that. Well, I can't believe when I look back how well dressed we were. But,
The standards have set.
Progressive dinners, each place's places, yeah.
Catering went on.
Yeah.
Catering.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Like that, events, forever. Introducing
Well, you're honorary members, you ladies, you know, of the Apex Club, so you could help us. That was good, G, wasn't it? Yeah. No, we did appreciate that. It was certainly a family organisation, I know. And that was the downfall of it, too. You know, when you've got 20 to 40 and all males, you limit yourself if you want to survive in this world. And Lions now have Lions Our Lady as members of the Lions Club. So, you know, Apex never got around to doing that, which I thought they should have. But anyway, so.
Trevor, I've been asked to say a few words and thank you for the presentation. I dropped it down here. When I heard that Trev Campbell was going to come and speak tonight, I thought, this is going to be entertaining. I think you'll agree. A lot of things I've jotted down, names that we all remember, people like Les Mellis who you've been picking on non-stop, really. The fellas who went through the Apex Club, and you mentioned the Hospital Sundays. I happened to be at the Hospital Sunday one time when there was a bloke there, a bit roughly dressed with a shaggy sort of beard. He looked a bit on his own. I wandered over and I said, "Oh, I'm Harold Flett. Now, who would you be?" He said, "I'm Bruce Buckley." I never got involved in Apex.
Bruce did. Bruce was an Apex, yeah.
Yeah, Bruce Buckley.
Yeah.
But I think my involvement was in Young Farmers as a younger fellow up till when I was married. And Dick, as people remind me, including girls, because I sort of wrote about that in the paper, that everywhere we went in Young Farmers, there was more girls that you could meet. I know you did mention the Apexians' wives and the lovely food that the likes of Gary Colwass and those sort of people put on. David Doole, a great chap, as we all knew David. He used to pick on me as a farmer who used chemicals, but I think if I said black Doole, he'd say white and off we'd go. We'd have a good argument about anything. Debating, I'm glad you said you learned that in Apex, because that was a skill that I learned in our Young Farmers Movement, and that has stuck with me for the rest of my life. And I'm sure that a lot of you folk who have been through Apex have had the same experience, that the things you've learned, like you mentioned, Roger Belville, a shy young man who developed into a great guy, an open and involved in lots of things. So, Trevor was very interesting, very entertaining, as I said, and I'd just like everybody to put their hands together and thank you. And from our Donald History Club, please accept this as a measure of our thanks.
Thank you, Harold.
Thanks, Trevor.